He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's September. How was your summer?
Pretty good. Just work, 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 work. That's all I did.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm busy. Well, you've been gone most of the time, so what else was I going to do?
I have been everywhere down in the U.S., across this great country.
Must be nice.
There's so much information I need to get out there.
I know, absolutely. So what am I going to do?
Stay home and look after the fort.
Stay home, look after the fort, work, 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 you know, and really it, while the cat's away, the mice will play.
Laundry,
so therefore, so
cooking,
it's a good thing for me to stay home.
Clean
and
the house.
Keep busy.
Keep your eye on the kids.
I live for that.
Sounds like a wonderful lifestyle to me.
Yeah.
So what's cooking?
Well, September, back to school. And I hear a lot from a lot of my friends and family. And what do you put in the kids' lunch boxes, Tracy? Well, funny thing is, as you know, Ruby's teachers always made comments on her sandwiches, saying, boy, that sandwich looks good, Ruby. She'd always come home and say that. So some of the things that I put in her sandwich would be I use the highest quality bread, such as spelt, rye, kamut, and we change our grains. But the key to a good bread, as you always say, is the heavier it is, the better, the higher quality.
Yeah, like a lead brick.
Yeah.
Right? The heavier, the better, for sure.
Do the squeeze test. If you can't squeeze it to death, like the white bread, it's very light, and the other loaf would be very heavy.
Well, you put it in your hand, you weigh it, number one. Number two is you put your hands around the top of the loaf and try and squeeze it. If it gives in more than half an inch, forget it.
Yeah, right.
You want density in the bread.
Yeah. So that would have no sugar, no white flour, no additives in it. So really high quality bread, right? As a staple, if you're using it as a staple. And then I add sprouts, tomatoes, and cucumbers. And then I'll have chopped egg mixed with a really high quality mayonnaise, so with no added sugar and garbage and junk.
Kind of like a natural mayonnaise.
Yes, exactly. And maybe sometimes some leftover chicken or turkey or roast beef, whatever we've had the night before.
Pack in that protein.
Absolutely. And this makes a huge, juicy sandwich that is healthy and filling. And believe me, she always gets comments on her great sandwiches. And a prerequisite is I always add an apple and carrot sticks for a recess snack, and always 750 mils of water. And that is what I tell Ruby. I say you absolutely have to have your water every day, your carrot every day, and an apple every day, as it keeps the doctor away. So she knows this is something she always, always has. So if she's playing sport after school, I'll give her another 500 to 750 mils of water. So she has to drink her 750 mil every day at school.
And if you don't give them water, they won't drink it.
Well, what a lot of people do is they put the juice boxes in. And so I don't do that. I just train her on water. And I think it's really important that we do that with our kids, because, you know, they're getting enough garbage and crap and junk when we're not around and they're eating at their friend's house and they go to Playland or whatever they do, or they go to the mall. They're getting their junk food in there. So
yeah, plus these juices increase insulin resistance, decrease insulin sensitivity, and contribute in the long term to what I believe is ultimately a form of infantile and juvenile onset diabetes.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
It starts off with sugar in the diet, and juices and pop is a major source of sucrose for those kids. Corn syrup and fructose.
Because she always tells me what the other kids have in their lunch. Like, they'll have these little Lunchable things, you know, with the white crackers and the cheese and those luncheon meats
and
white
and
bread. And, you know, the kids all make fun of Ruby, but I mean, she's the fastest one in the school, right? So another thing that I do is I'm always making homemade soups and things like that. So I always, in a thermos, I'll put homemade soup in there. No bars or juice boxes. And I don't put cookies in, nothing like that at all. If I happen to make cookies and there's any left over, which is few and far between, or a muffin, sometimes on rare occasion, I will put one in. Depending on if she's got, like I said, a sport after school, then I make a little bit bigger lunch. And that's about it. So her staples at home are really, really solid. When she goes, like I said, to the mall or Playland or whatever she's going with her friends, believe me, she's getting the junk food in there. I guarantee it.
Hey, I was just at a big fitness conference down in Washington, D.C.
Was that where you were?
And I had a lot of questions. You know, a lot of the attendees were females, average age 35 to 55. These are personal trainers. And their knowledge of nutrition really needs to be upgraded. They're experts in the physicality of the body, mm-hmm. in training and sets and reps and all the theories associated with weight training. But when it comes to nutrition, anyway, one of the most common questions that they were asking me is, how do I feed my kids? What kind of foods do you feed your kids, Corey? And what kind of lunches do you give them? And what do you feed them for breakfast?
Yes.
So, for example, what does Ruby eat for breakfast?
Well, let's have a look here. Ruby always starts off with her glass of water. And then I make her a fresh juice. Actually, she's making her own fresh juice now. She likes orange juice, so she's freshly squeezed orange juice.
So don't just give them fish. Teach them how to fish.
Exactly.
Teach your kids how to cook in the kitchen.
Now, we alternate things. She'll have a protein shake one morning, or maybe just a fresh juice. But with her protein shake, we add the juice, and then she puts the protein powder in it. On an occasion, I will make her some nice French toast, which is all in my cookbook. And everything, people need to understand that everything that we use in our fridge is the highest quality that you can buy. We spend
a fortune
on food.
But it's an investment.
Yeah, exactly.
The real estate of real value is your physical body.
Yeah.
Your mind and body. That's mm-hmm. the number one real estate on
right.
the planet.
And then we'll do scrambled eggs, and then she'll have fresh fruit one morning. And another morning she'll have the oatmeal. And she just loves the black strap molasses.
Yes.
And then we put the honey in there.
She must get that from her father.
Yeah. And I always give her a mouthful of bee pollen, that fresh bee pollen that we keep in the
fridge.
Right
out of the hive. It's not air dried.
Yeah.
It's not laid out and dried out. It's just that fresh. It melts in your mouth mm-hmm. right out of the hive. It's fantastic. Loaded with immunoglobulins and protein and tons of stuff to pack up the immune system.
So I change stuff around for her every morning. And that's what I really, really liked. I've been with her from kindergarten to grade 7, and she's going into high school now. So I've been with her every morning to make her breakfast, and she really, really likes that. But she's learning how. Now she makes me breakfast, which is really quite nice.
Well, even last night, when we were all at the publishers working on your book, going through the editing stages, the final copy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was with us and working on the chat line with her friends on the computer. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were on the way home, and we were all saying, like, you know, we're hungry. What are we going to eat? And we all look forward to our protein shake.
Yeah, and that was a good one, too.
I made the best protein shake I've ever made in the world last night. It was thick and creamy. We had some mango in there and some banana.
Ooh,
we had some, I think, chocolate and vanilla protein powder with ice cubes and filtered water, vitamin C. And I'll tell you, Ruby just loved that shake.
And what happens when Ruby's friends come over now? She makes them a protein shake, and they all love it. And they all go home and tell their parents about what a great protein shake they had, because the parents all tell me.
Correction. They come down when I'm in the computer. Dad, can you make us a protein shake?
Oh, they don't do that with me. I make her
I don't mind making them, but I show them how to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
But, you know, that's great. They got like four or five friends. I make up a giant blender of a shake, give them all a little shot, and they actually love it.
Yeah.
But the thing with the shakes is they have to taste good. And a lot of people don't know how to make a shake.
Right.
But when you do how to make them, with all the delicious fruits and the different quantities of ice cubes and water and all the supplements you can add in, mm-hmm. you can make a delicious, nutritious shake that kids love.
Yeah. And I've got that in my book, too, a whole chapter just on different shakes for different times of the day. So,
yeah. So and when then, is that book coming out anyway?
Ah, geez. I've been working on it for over a year now.
So now you finally get it, right?
You know what I love is when you're not home, I don't cook. So, you
right.
know, so you're going, oh, my God, what do you eat? Sushi. It's Ruby and I, sushi, sushi, sushi. I love that raw, the sashimi.
I choose the sashimi more than sushi.
Yeah.
Sushi is like the raw fish on top of white rice.
Yeah.
I like to go for
some
just
sashimi.
The raw fish itself.
Yeah, the tuna.
Got to watch that white rice.
The tuna is like, that raw tuna is like candy to me.
Oh, it's
I just
delicious.
Love that stuff.
Nutritious.
Fat
wonderful
just burns
stuff.
Off of me.
High omega-3, lots of minerals, delicious stuff.
Okay, so that's that. So start at the highest quality, and you have to train your kids. And the reason that you do this is you tell them why you're making them good food. And don't let them fall into the trap of, because my friends don't eat that. My friends don't eat that. Who cares? Look at health. Is the most important.
Number one.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Stuart Brown of EHN Greens Plus. It was a great interview, and what I really find interesting is how the gurus in our industry got started. And Stuart mentioned that he had a few health problems, and when he got into the health industry, he changed his diet and he recovered. Got rid of milk and garbage that he was eating, and now he's
just kind of switched over from a standard Canadian
diet. Fighting machine.
You learn about health and nutrition, you start incorporating these changes, which may be minor at first, you sort of grow into it, and all of a sudden you start to see these major changes in your health. So I think that he was really convinced by his personal life experience.
Right.
And there's nothing more solid than that punch in the head, mm-hmm. like when life sort of throws that at you. If you really get it that way, if you can really get the connection, when you see those positive changes happening in your own body.
Mm-hmm. And that's
body
what this whole thing that he says is about, helping other people. That's what he loves to do. He wants to help other people, and that's what drives him to be successful in
Absolutely.
His business.
And I was excited to learn about some of the studies that they're putting money into to validate the influence of green food on the health and dynamics of the body chemistry, because we do know that spirulina and chlorella, barley and wheatgrass juice have enormous nutritional value. But there's a need for more science to validate their influence on health and healing. And when we have that, then we can say to the individuals who criticize the use of these products, hey, look at, here are the facts. You know, read them and weep, buddy.
Yeah, I'd like to say, who's going to criticize this? You know what I
well,
mean?
Well, people that condemn
I
the
know.
Use of supplements.
I know.
Conventional medical doctors that say
you know
they have
what,
no
someone,
value whatsoever.
You know what somebody said to me? They said, Tracy, you take all these vitamins. Do they work? Well, hello. You know what I did? I stood up, I turned around, and I said, tell me what you think. And I happened to be looking, I actually looked good that day. I had some tight little outfit on. But I mean, really, I just couldn't believe it. It's almost like an insult. But anyway, of course they work.
And more than that, just on the obvious outside physicality or the observation of your physique, is what's going on inside the body on a cellular level. And that's the stuff you can measure.
Right.
You can take somebody with high levels of homocysteine, give them B6, folic acid, and B12, and then remeasure and see that homocysteine decreasing. Mm-hmm. And so that risk factor of vascular disease or Alzheimer's is also decreasing along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one example of many, many tests that you can do mm-hmm. to verify, go beyond the subjective into the objective, and use medicine to validate what it is that we're doing.
So yeah, that was a great interview with Stuart Brown, and thanks so much.
Okay, who is our next month's special guest?
Well, 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 our next month's special guest is Jose Antonio. He's a PhD, and he's the Chief Executive Officer of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Dr. Antonio earned his PhD in the area of muscle physiology and plasticity from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. He also has written over 500,000 words in popular magazines such as Men's Health, Men's Fitness, Muscle and Fitness, Flex, Muscle Media, Energy, Muscle and Fitness Hers, Physical, Running Times, and Testosterone. So we definitely look forward to Dr. Antonio's interview.
That's going to be excellent. You know, I've read
That's
many
a lot of words.
Articles. No kidding. And he is an excellent writer. He loves the science. He digs into it. He brings it out. He likes to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, and really brings to mind the value associated with training and the essential need to reinforce the training needs biologically with natural whole food and dietary supplements. And he's very objective. He likes to compare the obvious benefits of training with dietary supplements to exercise by itself, and he's convinced that the combination of training with the supplements is a better alternative than just the training by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to really unload his mind. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, he's just loaded full of excellent
exciting,
scientific
huh?
data. So I'm really looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And also quite excited about the new International Society of Sports Nutrition that he and his colleagues have formed, a new educational standard coming out into the world. And that's something that I've been working hard to do myself for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other people that are also focused on education and sport nutrition.
Oh, we haven't even started.
The world is turning, and there's a new paradigm shift.
Yeah, we're so far ahead of our time. And the people who are listening to SNU, you are so far ahead of your time, you have no idea.
Okay, so let's get into your hot topic.
Well, my hot topic today is living your passion and getting paid for it. It's interesting to ask young people or old people, what is their passion? And they can't figure it out, or they can't even grasp the concept. What is passion? Well, you know, I looked up in the thesaurus, and I looked up in the dictionary. It says passion is energy, excitement, zeal, devotion to something that you really feel for. So how can I possibly do a job that I love and get paid for it? And how many people do we know, Corey? And this is really interesting because every time we go away, we always talk about this. How many people do we know who have a 4-year university degree and do not use it? Instead, they're working as waitresses, clerks, or construction. Right?
I met a guy the other day behind the desk at a hotel. He's got a degree in kinesiology. We started talking about sport, nutrition, and exercise. Never used it. And he said about 90% of his classmates are not working in the field either.
Well, you know what's really funny? A friend of mine, he also has a degree in kinesiology. And I said, well, why aren't you using this? And he says that the type of job with kinesiology is small, the market's small, and they only have part-time work, and the pay's not good. So now he's working in construction, and he's going through the ropes to become a firefighter.
Now, I wonder why, when they go into the degree program, why they don't sit down for a moment and look at the possibility in the future. What is it about the degree anyway that makes people go through this process? And then an amazing amount of people, like I know I've got sales reps working with a company that I'm consulting with right now who have degrees that are working as sales reps in a vitamin company, but they have degrees in areas that are completely non-related.
Well, this is what I would tell anybody who is considering on going to university to get a degree. I'd say make sure that there's an extensive market for this type of work that they want to get into. And that there's also, you know, paid jobs, travel. Like, it's not just a degree you're getting. Can I actually work in this field? Is it an open market for me? Is there a future for me in this market? Or is it just to get a degree because that is the thing to do.
The trend.
So let's think about what you love to do, have an interest and go for it, and take the opportunity to realize your dreams, because as far as we know, there's only one time around.
No doubt. And I like what Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich. What is an educated man? An educated man is not somebody who has a collection of academic profiles and degrees. Oh, no, 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 no. He says that an educated man is somebody that can get whatever it is that they truly want without violating others. And in the process of achieving their goal, they're self-satisfied, they're fulfilled, and they feel as if they're contributing towards their place and role in humanity in a worthwhile sense. So that to me is a much better objective than just getting a so-called quote-unquote degree.
Well, that's passionate, isn't it? That would be living your passion.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Hey, Rod Stewart, everybody needs passion.
Exactly.
Even the president needs passion.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, I think that we're both living our passion.
Yeah, but you know what? Your passion can get the best of you too.
Yeah, well.
It can pull you down.
Let's not go there.
If you go too heavy, too hard, right? So you got to control your passion.
Yes, exactly.
But
everything
the passion
in moderation,
that
huh?
comes out through what you do, if you love to do what you do, I mean, how better can it get if you're generating revenue and you can sustain yourself and your family on doing what it is you love to do? And how many people don't like doing what they're doing? And when I say that, what they don't like is what they're working in, the field of their vocation or their employment.
The thing is, as well, is like, I like learning every day when I go in. I don't necessarily need to make more money. Now, don't get me wrong here. But if I'm learning every day, I'm learning, and that information that I'm learning, I'm passing it on. That turns my crank, right? And I can stay well and healthy and active, and I can have communication with people. I'm not the type of person that can sit in front of a computer 24/7. That's not for me.
No, but it is for some.
Exactly.
So be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Come to terms with what it is that you really want, and don't let anybody rob you of your dream or vision.
Exactly.
Don't let anyone take it away.
Yeah.
Don't seek the approval. We talked about that from the wrong people.
Yes.
Be true to yourself. You know what that means? It means that your life parallels what your heart's ambition is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not letting anyone get in your way. And of course, you're not violating anybody in the process.
No, but you're not smacking people out of your way either.
No. No, you don't have
to. Exactly.
To be successful, you can be harmless in your
endeavor. Because when you're
being
true to yourself, then you are happy.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so many people live or work around people that they allow to mistreat them.
Oh, that goes on quite a bit.
Right. You notice how
that's
I say
ever,
they allow
yes.
you know, them to mistreat them.
Right, and there's a lot of that going on.
No kidding.
Because we talk a lot about that.
So stand up for yourself.
I've had that myself throughout the
years. Don't let anybody mistreat you. Where does it say in your contract that you get to be treated like less than a human being by your employer.
And you always do the best job ever. You know, you always do a best job, even when you don't feel like it. That's discipline. You do, even when you don't feel like going to work that day, do a bang up job.
Do more than you're paid for. You'll always stand up. You'll rise above mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Opportunity will knock at your door. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no way around that. That's what I see in the people's lives around me that are getting ahead, that are moving forward, and that are really feeling as if they're contributing towards something worthwhile.
That's right.
So. Okay, so that was a great hot topic. So remember, live your passion and get paid for it. That's right.
Well, I'm full of great hot topics, don't you think, dear?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Okay, so what is your final word?
My final word is from A Survival Guide to the Stress of Organizational Change by Price Pritchett and Ron Pound. Speed up, cover more ground, put your faith in action, in mobility, and maximize your personal productivity.